Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
It's 7 a.m., time for the Man of Saturday Mornings.
Lou Manfredini, he has a name that rhymes with...
The one and only, your Mr. Fix-It.
Our good friend, Lou Manfredini, he is here with some tips to control.
Some teeps? Some teeps. Hey.
Later. That's right. Him and all of his teeps are here till 10, right here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I'm so handy. You already know.
Good morning. Lou Manfredini here with you, the Mr. Fix-It show.
When your toilets overflow.
This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Ace Hardware, ChevyDriveChicago.com, 708 in the morning, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Hold on, I got to switch my, hold please. I got bad earphones here, and it's all, sounds like, Veronica, are you swimming in the lake?
It could be.
All right, it sounds like you're swimming in the water. Hold on, I don't know what happened here.
It'd be probably a little chilly, although we can't check the temperatures. Right, although,
thanks. Yeah, it's going. That's right. It's going great for us here. Hold on, please. Hold, please. It's a well-oiled machine. I had all these great plans. How's that? Oh, that's so much better. Thank you.
I'm going to give you a little bit of good news. One of our listeners, I've got to find the email.
All right.
Sent an email where you can check the water temp.
Like some online thing.
I don't remember what it is. I'm going to have to sort through all my emails, but I will
You're
report.
Very popular. You have so many emails and people talking to you. It's nice.
I guess.
Hey, I have something for you. I walked in. Our Noodaloo 2 today is plugged in the studio. And don't say anything, Veronica.
All right.
Hold on. But you plug it in. It's going to help your garden. And it sounds like this.
Sounds like a blender.
It's a blender, because you love mojitos. I don't know. Do you love mojitos? What is your drink of choice?
I'm pretty
You're
basic.
You're not a big drinker, right?
Well, I'm not a big drinker.
You
but
like Sam.
When I do have a adult beverage.
Well, good morning, Sam. I didn't know you were there.
Well, I'm surprised I made it. You chased me around the newsroom with that monstrosity.
Don't tell it. Don't tell it yet. That's our Noodaloo 2 coming up. Come
you
on
still
now.
Chased me.
I hope I have those blades attached properly.
Well, Veronica will find out. Well, now we know there's blades.
Oh. It's a tease.
It's a teaser. All right. So what is your drink of choice?
I'm pretty basic. I like beer. Just plain old.
Any kind of beer?
Not really. I'm not a real dark beer fan. I don't like the bitter taste. But I don't really drink that much. But if I do have one, and that's because it goes well on
Sam
the patio.
Sam and I drink enough for you. I like a good, I got to tell you, I like different kinds of beers, but I do like a Bud Light or a Coors Light or a Miller Light.
Just a plain old American
like
beer.
Lighter, lager. The problem is I like it so much that I like the second one, too.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe sometimes the third, especially if it's a nice hot day.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Sam? Are you a drinker at all?
Yeah, I'll dabble a little bit from time to time. Bloody Marys are always good.
Oh.
A little margarita action.
Good Bloody Mary. Oh, my gosh.
Those are probably my favorite.
The best Bloody Mary I've had recently was December 22nd at the Houston Airport in the American Airlines Admirals Club. I was done traveling. I'd been traveling like crazy all year, and it was about 11:50 in the morning, and I was waiting for my 1:30 flight.
Probably how much it cost too? 11:50.
Yeah,
at
I don't.
The airport.
I honestly don't remember, but I sat down and I was like, so happy that this is it. I'm done traveling for 2015, and the guy goes, "Would you like a drink?" And I look at my watch. Oh, it's 11:50. He goes, "It's 10 minutes." The guy goes. I go, "You're right." I go, "How are your Bloody Marys?" He goes, "Only the best ones you've ever had." And there was a guy sitting next to me, and I go, "Really?" I go, "That's a pretty bold statement." He goes, "I make them from scratch." So he starts putting it all together. And, it's in, Austin or Houston? Where's Tito's vodka made?
Austin.
I was in Austin. That's where I was. Because he goes, "We only use Tito's vodka." And I go, "Well, yeah, you're in Austin. It's a domestic there." It was delicious. It was so good, I wanted a second one, but I had to get on the plane, and I thought, this is kind of crazy, because I had finished the first one before noon.
You didn't want to be one of those guys on the plane.
Right. Well, I really didn't care, but I was, but I just thought, come on. But it was so good. Good Bloody Mary. Oh, a little horseradish sauce. Delicious. Hi, everybody. It's Drink Talk in the Morning, sponsored by Binny's. 7:14 in the morning, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. All right, a couple things coming up. Our Noodaloo 2 that you're going to learn about that has blades that I chased Sam around with this morning, allegedly. And that'll be up at 7:50. Then at 8:30, do you have a pool? Do you know how to take care of it? Are you thinking about getting a pool, but you're thinking, oh, they're just too much of a hassle to take care of? We're going to talk to a pool expert, a company that's been around for over 70 years, installing both large pools and small pools. I actually think that we spoke with this company, Lindsay, many years ago.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. And I just know this company. And what's so funny, you know, Lindsay and I were texting back and forth about, hey, let's get someone to do this. And you came up with this name. And literally the day before, I had driven by one of their vans.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I was like, huh, maybe we should call them. But I never communicated that to you.
It's so, like one mind.
It's unbelievable. So we'll be talking to them about pool care right after 8:30 this morning. But right now, let's get to your phone calls at 312-981-7200. This is Bill in Tinley Park. William, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Well, it is a good morning. It's even better since I'm talking to you.
Oh, you're very nice. How can I help you, sir?
A crawl space.
Okay.
I have a crawl space, and it's filled with sand, you know, a sand bottom.
Okay.
And the question is water now collecting it. I really have two phases to this question, and it's dealing with a water vapor barrier. And what's the pros and cons of, and isn't that true? There's two kinds of water vapor barriers, one that you place in the ceiling and one just on the floor.
Yeah. Okay, so if you, so now you have standing water in that crawl?
Once in a while, yes. Yeah.
Is that new or has that been going on for a while?
Well, it's, as the years have gone on, it's more and more.
Yeah. It's like you and I, right? We get older, we leak a little.
Well, it's leaking a lot.
Here's the thing. Just using the, if you have standing water, I wouldn't just invest in doing something with a vapor barrier. And in particular, if you have standing water, putting a vapor barrier above to protect the living space, that can still lead to breeding mildew and mold in that crawl, which can eventually work its way up. I would rather you attack this problem from controlling the water first and drying it out. The one nice thing about the sand is that it's, you know, it's so porous that once you manage the water, say you put, you had someone put a drop of sump pump pit in there and some perimeter drain tile just with the sand. Even if you just did that with no vapor barrier and controlled the water, you'd be amazed at how the humidity level and the moisture level down there would subside. But probably the better way to go, the more a thorough way to go, even from a resale standpoint too, Bill, because at some point, you know, you've got water in there, you have to disclose that. And when you fix it, say, you know, you call the folks at PermaSeal, okay? They come out, they assess what's going on. They say, hey, we're going to put some drain tile in and we're going to put a sump pump in there and maybe a vapor barrier down for you. Then it's done. It's not sexy. It's not a granite countertop. It's not new windows. It's not, you know, remodeling your bathroom. But I talk a lot about the fact that the bones of the house is so important. And
yes,
it all starts with a dry basement and crawl. So while I know you may not want to invest the money in that, it probably is the best way to go.
Well, that was my other phase to my question.
Phase three. Phase three, okay.
Yeah. That's my next question. Phase two is the sump pump. You know, one was the barrier, one
right.
was the sump pump. No, definitely. What's your thoughts on a sump pump down there?
Well, that's
that is my long range.
That
yes.
really is your first. That really is your first step is to get a sump and possibly drain tile to go around around that area because you need to control that water and get it out of there so that it doesn't breed mildew and mold. And then from there, you know, probably connected to that program where you're going to put that in. I assume you're going to have someone do it?
Definitely.
Yeah. So they're going to do that, and they're going to do that, and probably put a vapor barrier down there as well. Do me a favor. Hang on a second, all right? I want to send you out an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, which allows you to adjust the temperature in your home's air on your smartphone. Brought to you by American Weather Makers, home of the 60-Minute Men. You can give them a call at 855-955-HVAC. 7:19 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
Yeah, sure, hoop-de-doo. Now back to your Saturday morning fix of the Mr. Fix-It Show with your host, Lou Manfredini, on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back, 7:23. Lou Manfredini here with you.
Do you know who this is?
Oh, that's the spot.
Singing?
No.
The Monkees have a new hit this summer, and it's a great song.
Really?
I just saw the funniest bumper sticker ever.
Yeah.
It said, the Monkees taught the Beatles everything they know.
I don't think that's the case.
No, I don't think so.
That's funny, though. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's see if I can help you with something. Here's Dean in Lockport. Dean, you're on WGN.
Good morning, sir. I've got a vinyl side at home. It's two stories. And I tried about 10 years ago to pressure wash the house, and I messed up a bunch of my windows. The water leaked between double pane. I was wondering, because the soffits and everything, every time we wash the windows, you get a rain. And then all the windows are filthy from the dirt dripping down. So I'm considering getting a pressure washer again and doing the house. Is there any products out there that would, like, leave a sheen in there or clean it where it's not just the water running down across the windows and then dirt never really comes off?
Okay. So the question is, when you did this before, then the windows were really dirty when you were done.
Well, I actually damaged a couple windows. I had to pressure up too high.
Okay, I see. Yeah, that's the problem with these pressure washers. If you're not careful, you can damage it. It's a two-story house?
Yes.
How comfortable are you if you got up on a six-foot ladder?
Fine.
Okay. So, and do you have room around your house that if you took a 6-foot step ladder around the perimeter of your home, could you do that?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, there's a couple of different house washes out there.
Okay.
Crud Cutter makes one. Concrobium makes one.
I think I've heard you mention Concrobium before.
Well, yeah, but you may have never heard me talk about their house wash.
No, I haven't.
It's a heavy bottle. You put it on the hose. And you spray this is the trick with this. You're going to put, probably for your whole house, you're going to need a couple bottles of this, okay? You're going to get on that ladder. You're going to get your all set up with the hose. And you're going to go top to bottom and spray this whole thing down. Actually, bottom to top. So you're going to pre-wet everything around there, the vegetation that's there. And you're going to start at the bottom. You're going to work your way all the way up. And you're going to do in a complete side of the house.
Okay.
And then you're going to wait. Well, you then go do the next side of the house, okay? And then before you go do the third side, come back and rinse the side you just did. So I want you to leave it up there for, 10 minutes.
Okay.
So it has a chance to it has a chance to work through the dirt and loosen it up a little bit. And spray the windows too. Now, the problem with spraying the windows is that it's not going to give you the crystal clear that you want, but I'm going to get to that in a minute. So go around the whole thing with the Concrobium or the Crud Cutter, get it nice and clean. Windex makes a product as well for the windows. Now,
I've used that, yeah.
The one with the pad? The one with the pad?
Oh, no, no.
Okay. The one with the pad, can you reach a window from the second floor from a 6-foot ladder with a 6-foot pole?
No, actually, what I usually do is because they open up.
Oh, all right.
I kind of hang outside the window.
Okay, well, then do that. If they open up, then clean do the whole house thing, get it all nice and clean, concentrate on the siding portion of it, and then go back and clean the windows when it's all done. But this.
Okay, how about this, like the soffits when I get up there?
Same thing with the spray. You can spray that as well.
Wait, okay.
The key is I got to get that soap on there, and I need it to stay there for at least 10-15 minutes and then rinse it away.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you very much.
You got a lot of work to do. Get going.
Oh, I know it. And it's supposed to rain later in the afternoon, so that'll help with my rinse.
Perfect. That's right. Have a great day, Dean. Thanks for calling.
You too. Bye.
Appreciate it. 312-981-7200. Quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Lou on the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I tell her, baby, 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 I'm a fireball.
7:37 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you, the Mr. Fix-It Show. Kathy and Judy coming up after 10 o'clock. I've been listening to these promos, and I'm trying to come up with it, but we have all been here. One of their topics today, have you ever said something that you instantly regret? And have you ever noticed how those comments usually live forever? Right? Even if you don't say it to that person, but something you said, I wish I would have never said that.
That think filter just doesn't happen.
Right. Oh my gosh, I could come up with a like. Mm-hmm. Have you here? This would be me. Have you ever said something you instantly regret? Yes, every day. Lou Manfredini, every day. That's coming up this morning after 10 o'clock. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's see if I can avoid saying something I'm going to regret to George in Chicago. George, you're on WGN.
Thank you, sir. How are you?
I am fantastic. How can I help you?
Every year, I've got a big deck in my backyard. I've got fence all around it that I pressure wash every year and then seal it with Thompson's.
Stop doing that.
Okay. What I want to do is figure out a way to do it or
okay, I'm gonna,
somebody I, do it for me.
No. How about this? What if I could give you some advice, George, where you can do this now and you won't have to do it for 3 years? And then
I'll buy you breakfast.
Really? Where?
Forever.
Forever? No. You don't have to buy me breakfast. I'll tell you what. Where are you in Chicago?
Northwest side.
Okay.
All
right. Here's what we're going to do.
Far northwest side.
All right. Here's what you're going to do. And, the Thompson's Water people, they don't like me because I've never been a fan of their product. And they try every year. We got this. We got that. It's a fine product for certain things. I just don't like it on a deck. I'm being completely honest. This is just my opinion. And for those of you that use it all the time and you love it, you're misguided. No, I mean, you're entitled to your opinion. But the whole idea behind Thompson's, everybody's so focused on, I want to see the water bead. And that's what the Thompson's does. When you apply it to the wood, it sits right over the top like a floor wax. And then it rains and you see the water beading and you're like, oh my gosh, my deck is the greatest. And then the sun and the UV hits it. Here's the thing. The thing that's worse for your deck is not the rain. It's not the snow. It's the sun. That tree, before we turned it into a board, never saw sun because it had something around it called bark. But it had water and snow that it sucked up through its roots. So you're going to take a pressure washer. And you're going to pressure wash that entire deck, and all that Thompson's is going to come off. And you're going to make any repairs that you need to make, a loose board here or going to replace a board there. Is the wood, George, in decent shape?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you're going to get that all done. And now here's the part that no one does. You're going to sand the deck. You don't even do that with the when you were using the Thompson's.
No, that's the problem. I'm trying to find a place to do that, which won't cost me an arm and a leg.
Well, I mean, you can call Deck Tech, who's a sponsor, and they've been doing this for a long time, and they'll do exactly what I just said. But arm and a leg, I don't know how expensive your arms and your legs are. Depending on the size of a deck, it could be $500. It could be $3,000.
Yeah, try the $3,000.
That's the estimate you got?
Yeah, and that included the fences and stuff.
But. Yeah, well, okay. So, but here's the thing: is the deck large or medium size? Or give me an approximation.
The deck is, well, the estimate was for a little balcony I have. The deck is maybe 24 by 12, with a bunch of steps leading to the pool, and then that also included my wooden fences on both sides. So it's a lot of wood.
George, come on. You're loaded. You got a pool. You got a deck. You got a balcony. Come on. pry open that wallet a little bit. No, I'm kidding.
Well, I'm retired. I'm retired.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
No, I know.
If you pressure wash this thing one more time, go rent a giant pad sander from a rental house that'll make quick work of sanding the deck. You'll still have to use a little random orbit in a couple of spots. The whole idea is that wood over time gets this thing called a wood sheen. It constricts up and it almost looks glassy. If I don't open up the fibers of that wood, whatever you put on it will not get absorbed into the board and hold on. So you're going to pressure wash, you're going to sand, and I'm really more concerned with sanding on the horizontal surfaces. The railings on the up and down, if you want, I would prefer you do that, but the top rail, the things you're going to walk on, those are the things that have got that wood sheen. Then, this is where you need a pencil. You're going to go buy an oil-based wood stain called Penafin. Okay? It is the bee's knees for deck stain. And you're going to do a few boards with a brush, and you're going to go across. You're going to wait 10 minutes, and you're going to wipe it away with a rag. And when you get all done, hey, Lindsay, do you have those pictures of those before and after pictures from the Penafin people that we couldn't get to use on WGN Radio?
They're up on your Facebook page.
They're up. Are you on the Facebook, George?
Yes, I am.
Go to LouManFerdini@Facebook.com. What is it?
Like
something like, go to Facebook.com and go to LouManFerdini. There's
I'll
pictures of before and after of a Penafin deck. I'm telling you, this stuff is awesome, and it'll soak in. You'll get 3 years out of performance, but wait for it. 3 years from now, you'll go back and just do a little cleaning and light sanding. You'll do it again, and then you won't do it for 5 years. It's the second time that really spans it all out because that rosewood oil builds up in the fibers of the wood, and it looks fantastic. It's $50 a gallon. It's not cheap. But when you do it right, I mean, if the size of the deck you're talking about sounds like you have, you know, a little over 300 square feet, three something. So you're going to need probably 3 gallons of it.
And what about how do you sand the fence? Is that
you don't need to, you just don't sand the fence. Don't worry about the fence. Just pressure wash the fence. Vertical surface, I don't care about. Just pay special attention to the top edge of the fence where it meets the sky. Remember, it's the sun that beats the you-know-what out of the wood, not the rain. Appreciate the phone call. 7:44 in the morning. We'll take a quick break, and then when we come back, it's our Noodaloo 2 that, wait for it, sounds like this.
This is John Williams. Every Saturday morning, I listen to Lou Manfredini, Mr. Fix-It. And I say to my wife, Brenda, Brenda, we got to do the stuff Lou's talking about. And then every Sunday morning, I say to Brenda, what did we do yesterday?
Hey, I hear that, John Williams. Now back to Lou on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Today I don't feel like doing anything. I just want to lay in my bed.
Yeah, yeah.
Seven 48
in the morning, Lou Manfredini, the Mr. Fix-It Show. Time now for our Noodaloo 2, which I think is awesome. And if you're a gardener, you really have to listen. And we're going to, you know, the thing is that I've already committed the Noodaloo 2 to Veronica because she is such a gardener. And then we're going to come back and get a review from her. She's going to be gone for a couple weeks, but when she comes back, we're going to get a review on how she likes it.
Good.
All right. Take a listen to our Noodaloo 2.
Oh. Here you go. One of my favorite things to do lately, now that the sun is shining, is to get outside and enjoy my yard. After city living for a number of years, I love having a backyard now, and I'm learning about so many fun tools to tend to it. Well, this summer, Black & Decker has announced two new corded gardening tools, the Garden Cultivator and the 4-in-1 Multi-Trimmer. Getting your soil ready for planting is one of the essential tasks for gardeners, and a garden cultivator, or a tiller, makes the job a little less laborious. Black & Decker's new Garden Cultivator
cultivator has 50% greater cultivating depth that efficiently breaks up that soil to allow water and nutrients to reach the plant roots, while counter-oscillating tines prevent weeds from tangling up. It's got a nice and soft grip, an adjustable handle, and an upright design that makes it easy to prepare bare patches in your lawn before seeding. Also, the 4-in-1 multi-trimmer features, get this, a handheld shear shrubber, a pole shear shrubber, say that three times fast, handheld grass shear, and a pole grass shear. The 135-degree pivoting head adjusts to 10 different angles, while the extended length pole reaches up to 10 feet. There's a 9-inch trimming blade that allows detailed pruning of bushes and shrubs, and then a 6-inch shear blade that offers precision trimming of grass around flower beds, walkways, and posts. Bam! Your yard is waiting for you. Go show it some love! You can find out more at blackanddecker.com. I'll put all the information, as usual, up on Lou's Mr. Fix-It page, on WGNRadio.com, also up on his Facebook page, and also up on VibeScore. Download that free app on your iPhone and vibe about it. That's this week's New to Lou 2.
I know that the big trend now with all of these garden tools is that they're cordless, which is really nice. But the corded products still have the most power.
Really?
I mean, it's just a matter of physics, right? You're pumping 120 volts through it. And when you come to cordless tools, the more volts, the stronger it is. So you've got these tools that are 40 volt and, you know, 30 volt, which are good size. But this bad boy right here, Veronica?
I feel like you have to fix them less, too, when they're corded.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is. We actually have, I think we rent it at our hardware store. Oh, I got the cord. So this is what you got to be careful about, catching the cord in the cultivator. Hold on, don't turn it on yet. There you go.
Oh, that would have been just nasty. Here's this broken thing, Veronica.
Yeah, here, take this. I'm cultivating right here.
Look at that.
So it's like, it's two little, how would I describe it? Two what?
Like claws.
They're like claws, but they're pointed down. So there's four different blades, and they oscillate back and forth, back and forth. Not circular like a blender, and they're probably about 6 inches long.
It's like a giant beater.
It's like a giant beater, mm-hmm. right? But it goes back and forth instead of circular. And the whole idea is that while all the espoma that I love, it's like a good back scratch. That's it. Espoma organic fertilizer. It's like a good back scratch for your plants. That's it.
I like that.
Right, Kevin, are you listening? Okay.
You look like you could be an extra in Ghostbusters or something.
It kind of has that look to it, yeah. But it's, the head is pretty heavy. But my point was, we have an electric tiller that I believe is Black & Decker that we rent at our hardware store, and I used it, and I was amazed at the amount of power. Now, it has a protective, and this one does too, circuit that if you overload it, it'll stop. But once you get your plants going, you're the gardener, right? You love the asparagus, right? You go in with this thing around your plants occasionally, and you still do the fertilizer, or you do this and then you do the fertilizer because you loosen up the soil. Oh, my gosh. You're going to be like, you're going to walk around, her thumb's going to be so big she won't be able to get out of the way.
You know what I like about that is that it doesn't go in this circular motion because then things, as right. I heard you say, would get tangled.
Correct. Right. So, and that what's nice is then you have control, even if you wanted to just go down in a certain area. And the fact that, they're about 6-inch tines, the roots, of established plants should be deeper than that, and you won't damage it. This is awesome. How much?
That is $89.
That's a deal.
That the is garden a deal. Cultivar.
And then the multi-trimmer, which we didn't bring the samples in, the 4-in-1, handheld shears, pole shear, shrubber, handheld grass shear, and a pulled grass shear as well with a pivoting head, which is really cool. That is a great investment. $89, $99 bucks. You'll have that forever.
It looks really light. I didn't get to touch it because you were chasing Sam with it.
Oh, right, exactly. Yeah. Did you hear how he ran like a little girl?
I heard the scream.
It's like, I'm wearing flip-flops.
Is that what he said?
No, he's not even listening. He's like doing sports. It's not super light.
Mm-hmm.
But the weight is all in the head. So when you put it on the ground and the handle is adjustable, you'll do fine. Okay. When you get back from your trip, you're going to give us
an unbridled, biased
opinion of what's going on.
If I can lift a weed whacker, then I can lift this thing.
Oh, yeah.
If you can lift those giant dogs that live in your house, you lift those.
Well, that's tough.
Yeah, well, this is nothing, believe me. 7:55 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
The name game.
Two words. Lou Manfredini. Oh. Six syllables, two words.
Shirley, Bo Burley, Bo Nana, Banna, Bo Furley, Fee, Fine, Mo Merrily. Shirley.
Five syllables.
Lou Manfredini. You're right. Lou Manfredini.
Lincoln, Bo Bingan, Bo Nana, Banna, Bo Bingan, Fee, Fine, Mo Mingan. Lincoln.
Louis Manfredini. I was thinking of his full name.
Right.
Actually, Lou Manfredini is only five syllables, but Louis Manfredini is six.
And now back to your host, Mr. Louis Manfredini.
Welcome back. 8:10 in the morning. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is brought to you by AccessBruno.com, by Fox Home Center, and by our friends at PermaSeal Basement Systems, who I have coming out to one of our rental properties next week because we have had an issue with water damage that we thought was a sewer issue that we thought we fixed, and it's just not fixed. And so I called them at PermaSeal, and of course they said, why didn't you call us first? Which I did. They put drain tile in another building for us a while back. So we're going to have a whole Mr. Fix-It experience once again, different spot for them to solve these problems for us. The city of Chicago infrastructure is so overwhelmed by all the building that it's just got nowhere to go. This water, these big rainstorms come, and even in this particular building has a lot of sand, but even with the sand, it has nowhere to go, and you just have to manage it. And this is, you know, this is classic homeowner denial for all of us, right? It only rains a little bit. When it rains, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. And then you don't go fixing it because you think it's going to be thousands of dollars. And many times they can come in and make a repair for $500 or $700. And then you never have water again. And then you're ready to kick yourself to say, why have I been putting up for this for 10 years and losing all this stuff when I could have fixed the thing for less than $1,000? Now, not all the fixes are that, but some of them are. And it's just, you just got to come to the realization that you need help. And you need experts like the folks at PermaSeal to come out and do a good job, which they will. 312-981-7200 is our phone number, the Mr. Fix-It Show. This is Annette in Lombard. Hi, Annette. You're on WGN. Good morning. Hello, Annette. Annette. One more time for Annette. Annette maybe nodded off to sleep. Annette, are you there? Annette once. Annette twice. Three times for Annette. I hear her. She's breathing. You hear her? You can hear her, can't you? All right, we're going to put Annette back on hold. And then we'll go talk to Mary Ellen in Buchanan, Michigan. Mary Ellen. Hello, Mary Ellen.
No, this is Annette.
Oh, this is Annette. We got Annette again. Hi, Annette.
Hi, good morning.
How can I help you?
I have a tri-level home. It was built in 1952. And I'm having a problem when I use my dishwasher or my washing machine. It goes into my sump pump in the basement, and now it's gurgling back up. And I've had plumbers out, and every one of them is giving me a different opinion, and I really don't know how to handle this.
Okay, wait a minute. Your dishwasher and your
washing machine
go into the sump pump or go in or go into a into an ejector pit?
Well, the ejector pit.
Okay, so when you look down at the in the basement, there's a pit down there with two pipes coming out.
Correct.
And it's sealed.
Correct.
All right, and the gurgling is coming where?
Up into my kitchen sink.
So when something goes,
water comes into my up into my kitchen sink.
And tell me what some of the plumbers have been telling you.
Well, one of them said they came and rotted my kitchen sink out.
Okay.
Well, that didn't work. Now they think maybe the pipes are decreasing as it goes down, so they want to take off the wall, which all my plumbing is behind a paneled bathroom wall, mm-hmm. and replace the pipes. A friend of mine said it might be a simple thing as a check valve. I don't know.
So if it's here's the thing. If it's backing up, when that pump goes off, okay, what's happening is the dishwasher goes into the sump pump pit, and that pump goes off, and it is pumping out like crazy. But there's got to be some blockage from the point where the pump is pumping to the sewer line going out.
So I kind of...
So that's...
Nobody mentioned that to me. I suspected maybe that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that is the simplest thing, because the way to... Does it happen every time?
Almost every time. In fact, I've had soap suds in my kitchen sink for my washing machine.
Yeah, that's crazy. You need the sewer line. You need the pipe cleaned from the pump into the sewer line and the sewer line on the way. So why don't we do this? You have a pencil?
I do.
800-421-SEAL.
800-421-SEAL. Uh-huh.
That's PermaSeal's number, and they have plumbing services.
Oh, I've had them do other work for me.
But
yeah.
Now they have licensed plumbers. You call them, they'll come out and assess what's going on, and they'll fix it right the first time.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great day. I appreciate you calling this morning. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. This is Mary Ellen in Buchanan, Michigan now. Hi, Mary Ellen.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
Good. Where is Buchanan, Michigan? I'm holding up my hand like the state of Michigan.
Down in the left-hand corner.
Left-hand corner, like near Indiana?
Yes, just north of Notre Dame.
I'm pointing right here. Look, Lindsay, look where I'm pointing. This is where Buchanan, Michigan is, right here. It's right by my... Now, what's the long line on your hand that tells you how long you're going to live?
Good. I don't know.
All right, well, it's not that line. It's the shorter one. I hope I go over the other line.
Well, yeah, if you have... Uh-huh. Anyways, we're over by South Bend, Indiana.
Got it. I'm pointing at it right now. How can I help you?
Well, just have a question on boring bees. This year, it seems like the boring bees...
Wait. Like they're not fun to be around? Is that what you're saying?
Well, they're boring into the deck.
Okay.
Duh, you know? And so I says, you know, they're not too fun to be around either.
All right.
But I want the deck to last a while. What is a cure for getting rid of and eliminating these disgusting bees?
Well, we're all nature's friends here, but I understand you don't want to get bit and stung. So the you can go to the hardware store and find a foaming bee spray. So this is the trick with this, and this is the mistake everybody makes. Even if you use regular conventional bee spray, it will work, but the foaming one, where that hole is that you see them going,
yeah.
In the evening, you're going to take this spray that's got a little tip on it, like a little long plastic tip, and you're going to go right in that hole, and you're going to pull the trigger, and you're going to, while you're pulling the trigger, you're going to count to three.
Okay.
One, two, three. Then you're going to run away. You got to count to three because I need enough stuff in there. If you can make it to five, then you're really something. But
yeah.
I'll go with three. Then tomorrow night, you're going to do it again. You're going to do it 3 days in a row.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's not just one application. Three applications, count to three. I prefer five.
Yeah.
And you'll eliminate this problem.
Okay, they will be gone forever then, huh?
Well, I don't know about forever, but they'll be gone for a while. There'll be residual value with this foam.
Yeah.
And so they won't come back to that spot. They may try and find other spots, but the minute you see that, go and do the same exact thing.
How can you crawl underneath your deck to see where they're boring at?
Well, I don't know how tall the deck is. I mean, if you can get to it somehow, that would be preferred.
Yeah.
But if you can get it from the top where they're going in, then
you there seem to be the ones
I've going through the boards.
Yeah, underneath.
Right. So the trick there is that you have to, you really have to locate where this nest is coming from. So how high is the deck off the ground?
Oh, I would say about 3 to 4 foot.
Okay. Do you have anybody that can crawl under there?
Well, yeah, probably I can find somebody.
All right, well, if they can do it, I mean, initially what I would do is if you can open up a side, even in broad daylight, from a distance, maybe with a flashlight, and say, oh, there's the nest. And then, this makes it a little more difficult, but that same opening in the evening, you're going to go there and spray and crawl really fast. So whomever you get needs to be a fast crawler.
Okay.
All right, so maybe you could do the... You know how they used to do the wheelbarrow race at the carnivals and stuff?
Yes.
The kids, so do a little competition and see who the fastest one is and choose that person.
do these boring bees sting? Or are they boring bees?
They sting.
I figured so, but I mean, I'm just kind of more curious. I've done what I can to try to learn about it.
Yeah. No, I get it. I mean, you know, there's a whole conversation about not eliminating bees, and we need them. But the thing is, we also have to balance that between our safety and where we want to live. And, you know, there's plenty of other places they can build their nest that don't bother your deck.
Yeah. That's right. If they keep boring this at this rate, you know, you're lucky to have a deck left,
Correct. So try this out, and I think you'll find that it works really well for you. Appreciate the phone call. It's 8:20 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after these.
Now, back to the Mr. Fix-It Show with your host, Lou Manfredini, on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
There's nothing wrong with a hard hat and a hammer. Kind of glue that sticks this world together.
8:24 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you, the Mr. Fix-It Show.
God bless the working man.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. Our daughter is in... Mallory is in Honduras for the week at on a mission at an orphanage down there. She just landed yesterday via Miami. She's like, first I'm flying to Miami and I'm going to be with Pitbull, and then we're going on to Honduras. She said, when you land in Honduras, everybody applauds.
Really?
Right.
What do you mean? Like the plane?
Everybody on the plane.
Oh, yeah.
The Europeans do that a lot, too. Every time the plane lands, they all applaud. So she says that's very funny. And evidently, the airport in Honduras, she flew American Airlines there. But you have to come in really fast, like because of, I guess, the mountains, because they're up in where they are. And she goes, that plane drops like a Navy anchor. Wham! And you're down on the ground.
So, wow.
She's
good
there
for
having
her.
A great time. Yeah, really having a great time.
What an experience.
It is. It's wonderful. There's like 300 kids that live at this orphanage, and they work all day long, and they go to school, and this whole orphanage, NPH is what the organization, they're not adoptable. In other words, these children have come from abusive relationship, family situations, or have been abandoned, and they raise them and educate them, and this is their family. And then they go on to their lives, you know, so they don't have to worry about them ever being abused again. This organization, which is worldwide, they have orphanages throughout the world, take care of these kids from all different ages, you know, and they're some of the most beautiful children you've ever seen in your entire life. It is just something else. And Mallory is going to save the world. No question. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Here's Ron in Schaumburg. Ron, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning.
How can I help you, sir?
I need your opinion. I have a...
Hey, Ron, I'm a little shy about giving my opinion, so I'll try.
Yeah, I've noticed it. I've noticed that in the past. I've got a patio that was built late. It's a concrete patio exposed to aggregate. And using the style from back in the 70s when we did it, it's divided into like 5 feet by 7 foot sections with 2x4s.
Okay.
And I replaced the boards once, but because I didn't have any way of fastening them to the inside, they continually move around. So I wanted to replace them. I've got a guy who's going to lay a driveway for me. He's got a good reputation. He's a concrete guy. I've watched the work he's done in the neighborhood. And he's also in the right price range that you always quote for square footage.
Right.
And so I asked him, what can I do? I want to take the boards out. What, you got any ideas? And he presented he said, we'll take all the boards out. We'll pressure wash it. And he says, then he would use a ARDX polymer patch to fill the gaps, which would probably be about, 3.5 inches deep by an inch and a half wide.
Right.
And then he would brush, put a slight brush on that, and then he would we would stain it to to a complementary color to the Merrimack stones that are in there now.
Right.
And then he would put a sealer over the whole, a Merrimack sealer, which would darken, give a brown tone to the whole patio.
And brighten it up a little bit.
Right. What?
So the ARDX is called Ardex, and Ardex is a commercial, has been a commercial finish for concrete forever. I have to be honest with you, I've never heard of it being used in such a large gap. So typically where they use Ardex coating, and that is could just be ignorance on my point, and I would have to do a little research on there, but Ardex is used, traditionally has been used in commercial applications like in warehouses where they, put this down over concrete and they run forklifts over them all day long. And it keep, the floors look nice, they're easy to keep clean, and it's extremely durable. Now, for this application, I've just never heard of it being used on an inch and a half wide gap. Now, that's not saying that it can't be, or perhaps it's a different chemical makeup than the stuff that I'm speaking of. I guess my only concern is, with something like that being as wide as it is, you will get separation because those panels, those Merrimack panels that you have now, that exposed aggregate, those move. And so the wood, go ahead.
They have moved, but only slightly. I mean, it's been down there for 40 years.
Right. No, I understand. And so I think that if you did this, you would have to go into it knowing that you will get gaps between this fill and the pads. There will be a slight gap. But that's okay because you have a gap when you put the wood down. But that wood has a certain look to it, and the fact that we live in the Midwest, you get the frost and the cold and the hot and the humid and everything like that. So, I can't give you an opinion on this because I'm unfamiliar with this product used in this type of application. I think I know exactly what you have. I know exactly what it looks like. If it were me, I think what I would do is I'd take up all that wood. I would I'd get some crushed limestone to fill in to these gaps and cut a board that's a little bit skinnier than that inch and a half and use it to tamp it down really well. And then I would buy redwood 2x4s. And I would rip those appropriately to fit into these gaps because the redwood's going to last a lot longer. It'll darken. You won't have that tight of a gap between the Merrimack panels and the wood. I think it'll be a little more forgiving as these things, to your point, they haven't moved a ton in 40 years.
And it looks
more traditional. And with that, in that redwood, when that redwood's down there, you're not going to replace that wood for 10 years, maybe.
And how would you hold the redwood into the gap?
It just sits in the gap. It just sits there. You're going to rip it, and you're going to pound it in, so it's, whatever the thickness of it is, and it's just going to, that's all it does. It just sits there. And if it moves a little bit, you take a mallet and a block of wood, and you bang it back down again.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay. One other quick question pertaining to the driveway. He talks about, and that's the only question that I've had with him on that, because I discussed bone dry with him.
Yeah.
And he uses a water-based sealer on the driveway right after they do it, and he says that it enhances, it breathes, and it strengthens it, but it also slows down the curing.
That's fine. I have no problem using that when the product is still wet. That's the key, is to seal it. So what they're going to do is they're going to finish it, and while it's still green and porous and uncured, it slows down the curing, and then that's perfectly fine. I have no problem with that application whatsoever. I love the bone dry, don't get me wrong, But this is a great product, and I think you'll do just fine. Thanks so much for the phone call. It's 8:33 in the morning. Time now for WGN Radio News. We're going to be talking about pool care.
Wake up and shake it off. You're listening to Lou right here on the Mr. Fix Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. 'Cause the players gonna play, 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 and the haters gonna hate, 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 baby. I'm just gonna shake, 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 shake.
I know many of you are sad because Taylor Swift and her boyfriend, whatever his name is, have broken up.
Calvin Harris.
Who is he? Who is he? Is he just some guy?
He's
is
a
he
singer.
An actor?
The DJ.
Oh, he's a DJ.
Oh, he's a DJ. Look at Sam coming in. Oh, he's a DJ. Sam, don't be so quick to come in with that information. I'm going to take your man card away. How do you know who dates Taylor Swift?
Better question. His name is Calvin Harris, but his real name is Adam Wiles. Why do you change your name? I don't get it.
And why do you go to Calvin?
Yeah. Isn't there a sports
Adam's
guy?
A cool
Wait,
name.
There, who's in this? Who's a Calvin Harris in sports? Isn't there a Calvin Harris in plays for somebody?
I think you're making this up.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Be careful. I'm going to chase you with the Black & Decker soil mixer.
You know, he could have been a Cubs player in like the 1800s.
Right. Well, and I probably watched him back then. Well, so I hope Taylor finds happiness. Anyway, I'm going to help you find happiness in your pool. Let's go to the phone lines. Do you have a pool? Are you taking care of it? Do you think it's a pain in the neck? Jason Ori is joining us on the phone line right now. Jason is the vice president of Rosebrook Pools, family-owned pool business with over 70 years of service in the Midwest, all around the area. Jason, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, not a problem. Not a problem.
Jason, did we talk to you guys a long time ago?
I believe so. I believe I ran into you and started popping questions to you at a trade show out in St. Charles.
Right? Didn't you have a guy working? Didn't you have a guy working for you named Calvin Harris? No, I'm kidding. That's a joke. Never mind. Lindsay and I were going back and forth about trying to come up with timely topics. And first of all, before we get going. Tell the audience about your company and what it is you guys do.
All right. The company is Rosebrook Swimming Pools. We're an in-ground custom shockcrete swimming pool builder, and we're a full-service company. We've been around for about 70 years. We're third-generation pool builders. And, you know, we have a full scope of service, from design all the way down to pool chemistry and maintenance.
So when you guys started, actually water was just invented, right?
Something like that. Pools were a lot simpler back in the day. You know, just a couple of lines with a pump and a heater.
Right.
And now the swimming pools are fully automated. People can control them from their iPhone. I could actually, control a lot of my customer swimming pools from my command center here in the office.
Really?
Everything is online. Everything is automated, from the chemical feeders to the heaters to the pumps, it's a lot different than when my father and my grandfather were digging holes and putting pools in.
Well, and what's happened, I think, that with anything, people that may be listening that don't have a pool are like, I'm not going to have a pool. Why would I want to have a pool? And what's life always takes interesting turns. Lindsay and her husband David, they just bought a home recently in the suburbs. And the home came with an above ground hot tub, and then initially I remember when they were looking at the house, the first thing that she said to me was, "Oh, we're so getting rid of this hot tub," and it was a relatively new tub. And I remember talking with her, and I said, "Don't get rid of it. Why don't you just see if you like it? I mean, if you ever want to get rid of it later, it's portable, whatever." And and then a little bit less than a year ago, my wife and I also did an above ground hot tub, which I absolutely love. And my concern always was that it was going to be so difficult to take care of. Now, this is obviously a much smaller system than you guys putting in the big pools, but the balancing and the taking care of the chemicals is very similar. And before I let you talk about that, we both of our own pools absolutely love them. And it brings you so much enjoyment. But to your point, this automation now has made it a lot easier to take care of these pools.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's whether it's an above ground spot, you know, or a big, you know, swimming pool, you know, it's always about, you know, testing often, you know, testing frequently, you know, especially if, you know, if you're going to put a, you know, a big bather load into a pool, because there's two things that, you know, really make pool chemistry react, right?
Okay.
And that's three things: heat, bather load, and, you know, outside element. So on a hot tub where you're running it at 104 degrees, you know, and then hopping in there, you know, you got to test it.
Right.
And the more that you test, the more you could actually get on top of some of the problems, you know, that you could have. So, you know, and when you're testing the water, you also have to keep in mind that the test kits that you use are kind of like a food product. You know, they will go bad if you leave them outside in the heat. So I recommend to my customers, you know, that they have their test kits and then put them in the fridge in the garage. Keep them cool. Keep them out of the sun. You know, and every year, every 6 months, buy new reagents to test your water. And that way you could keep it. You can stay on top of it.
Now, when you talk about test kits, I mean, I know that there are kits where, you know, they've got little vials and then they have these test kits that are the little strips. Do you have a preferred method?
Yes, absolutely. We like the reagents and the tablet test. You know, the test kits, the test strips, you know, sometimes aren't as accurate as, you know, the other two that I mentioned.
And does the volume of water that you have a direct effect on the accuracy of these test kits? In other words, you know, you talk about let me ask you this. Your specialty is in-ground pools.
Yeah.
How many, on an average install, how many gallons are you putting in of a pool?
On an average, anywhere from 20,000 to 50,000 gallons.
Wow. All
right.
And do you fill that up from the hose or do you have it delivered?
It really depends on where you live.
Really?
Right? Because we test, before we do anything, we test the water coming out of the house. So if you live in a remote area where you're running off a well, you're going to have high alkalinity. You're going to have a high pH. Alkalinities we've seen them in the 400 to 600 range, calcium in the 800 range. And, you know, you just don't want to use that kind of water to fill your pool up because you're going to have to chemically treat it right off the bat to bring it down into the range that's going to be comfortable.
Right.
You know, and we're doing a lot of custom color plaster work on the inside of these pools and custom, you know, Italian glass tiles on the inside of these pools. And if you put the wrong water in, you're going to get a calcium bill. It's just not going to look right.
Right.
You know, so the first thing you got to do is test your supply water. And if it's off, then, you know, you can truck in water. And it's usually the cost is about the same as filling it from your hose, you know. And you can get the water in within a couple hours. The water companies are very good, you know, at supplying it. So they'll come in with a 5,000 to 6,000 gallon truck and keep running to the local, you know, water supply at the park district and just keep filling it up.
Right.
You know? So
with a giant hose. So instead of the regular, you know, 3/4 inch garden hose, which will take you days to fill up a pool like that, this thing, they're dumping this truck out probably within a couple of hours.
Yes, even sometimes faster than that, because they'll use 3 or 4 inch trash pumps on the back of their truck to unload it, because the faster they can get that pool filled up, the faster they can move on to their next pool. So
right.
It's a cost basis, too, you know, for them to, you know, fill it up as fast as they possibly can.
Let me do this. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want you to talk a little bit about the chemicals and if you
mm-hmm.
have, you know, in other words, what you should be using in a pool, what it should feel like when you're done, and then we'll talk a little bit how people get a hold of you over at Rosebrook, okay? Hold on one second. Jason Ory, who's the vice president of Rosebrook Pool Company, we'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
You are tuned in to Lou Manfredini on the Mr. Fix-It Show. He's always got lots to talk about and lots of questions to answer. So give us a call, 312-981-7200 on the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN.
I've been driving all night, my hands wet on the wheel.
8:52 in the morning, we're talking with Jason Ory, the vice president of Rosebrook, I don't know why I can't say that, pool company. All right, let's talk about chemicals, because I think most folks see the HTH, which is probably one of the biggest brands, right, that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you've got to treat for the pH, you've got to treat for the alkalinity, you got to treat for the chlorine, the amount of chlorine you want in there. Do you have a preferred product that you like to use as a pro?
Not so much as... you know, each different specific element that we test for, you know, we use a specific brand. You know, we're really just not tied into one brand of product.
Got it. So,
you know,
because essentially it's the chemical, and you can't change the chemical, right? I mean, whatever the chemical is, that's the shock, right? That's the chemical.
Right. Sodium hypochlorite is pool shock, and you know it's. There's different strengths of it, so you're going to see chlorine in different forms. Right. You have your liquid shock that you throw in, you know, it ranges at about 12 to 13%, and then you have your dichlor, which is, you know, about 65% pure chlorine, and then you have your trichlor tablets that you put in the chlorinators at the system, which run at about 98%.
Wow.
You know, so when you're shocking a pool, you know, the life of it only goes for about an hour to 24 hours. You know, so when you're trying to balance a pool out, one, you have to, you know, you have to balance out the pH and the alkalinity first.
Right.
And then you want to balance out the chlorine level.
Right.
You know, but you also have to understand where the calcium comes in, because the pool chemistry changes at different temperatures.
Right.
You know, so if you're running your pool at 86 degrees, your chemistry is a lot different than if you're running it at 75 degrees.
You were really good in chemistry in school, weren't you?
Oh, I was awful.
Now, do you guys at Rosebrook offer, now I know you do a lot of installs, but do you also have crews of people that are running around taking care of pools on a regular basis? So if someone's listening to this and going, I was just as bad at chemistry as Jason was in high school, and I don't want to deal with this. And do you offer that service?
Oh, absolutely. We're a we're a top 50 builder in the country. You know, last couple of years we've cracked the top 10.
Nice.
You know, so our customers, you know, really, the, you know, we have to supply a full service company. So we build in four states, so it means we service all the pools that we build. So I have crews in New Buffalo, like right now. I have three crews in New Buffalo, Michigan, a couple in Indiana, all through the southwest suburbs of Chicago, all through the northwestern suburbs, into Lake Geneva, you know, Milwaukee. So we have crews all over the place.
That's
awesome.
Know?
And, you know, one of the things about having, you know, so many crews is my crews are constantly trained. We have an ongoing education process, because if you look at how just technology in your phones have changed,
right?
You know, the technology in the computers have changed, and everything, you know, runs on these AquaLink computers that go right into the iPhone. So, you know, my technicians have to understand and be able to troubleshoot immediately some of these new technologies.
Right, right, you know? Right. That's so important. All right. Jason Ory is the vice president of Rosebrook. It's a family-owned pool business with over 70 years in the business. Jason, if people wanted to get a brand-new pool, or they want you to come out there and fix their pH and maybe start servicing their system, how do they get a hold of you?
We're at rosebrookpools.com, or they can call us at 847-362-0400.
Thank you.
And we run a 24/7 emergency operation here.
Wow, that's great.
And that's 12 months out of the year.
Well, I hope you get a chance to jump off a high dive and go and do a cannonball today, all right?
Oh, tell me about it. My kids, my kids just pull me into these pools with them. So,
thank you so much. Jason Ory, Vice President of Rosebrook pool company. Appreciate you giving us this information this morning. 8:57 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. This is Ellie in Skokie. Ellie, you're on WGN. Good morning.
You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show.
I've got a lot of questions. Eventually, we're going to sell the house. Not while my husband is still here, because he'll stay here forever. He won't empty out the basement.
With Lou Manfredini.
But I'm planning ahead.
Wait, are you listening to what you just said?
On Chicago's very own.
Right. Okay. I mean, in the world.
720 WGN.
She can say in her voice, in her way, that she love me.
9:12 in the morning.
With her eyes, with her smile, with her belt, with her hands, with
this
her money.
Hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by wetandforget.com and by Ace Hardware. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. It's also our text line. We'll do our Just Text Me segment coming up after 9:30 in the morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. I mentioned that already. This is Kathleen in Schaumburg. Hi, Kathleen.
Hello, Lou.
How can I help you?
I have two questions about a dishwasher. I have a 14-year-old Miele dishwasher from App that had no problems, but now all of a sudden the buttons are not working right and they came out and it would be too expensive to repair it.
How much?
Well, I don't know. They were saying like $600.
You know how much that Miele dishwasher is?
Yeah.
How many years have you had it?
14.
Can I tell you something?
Mm-hmm.
And we have a Miele dishwasher as well.
Okay.
And we had a different brand that we had a couple problems with that I used to use when I was a builder all the time.
Okay.
And they had to replace a board. They had to do all this after only 6 months. And then they still had a problem. They replaced the whole thing. This was through App. They were great, but it was a manufacturer's problem.
Okay.
Finally, after like a year and a half, this thing didn't work. And my wife is like, this is ridiculous. We use this thing like it's our job.
Sure.
I call up my friend Ken Gruba over at Apt Appliance, who I've been doing business with for over 25 years. And whenever I call him, he calls me Louie.
Okay.
And I said, Ken, I want you to call the service department and tell me which is the dishwasher you get the fewest repair requests for.
Okay.
And they came back and said, Miele. And we put one of those in, and they just work and work and work and work and work.
Well, good. That's good to hear, because when I was talking to the manager of the service department, he was like, you know, why would you want to get the Miele? You could get the Bosch for $250 cheaper.
Get the Miele.
Yeah. Okay. So now my second question with the dishwasher was, when I was trying to figure out exactly, I wasn't getting power, it seemed like, but I plugged something else in the outlet and it was. But here's what I found out, and I'm kind of concerned about it after I called the Miele company as well. It seemed like when we built the house, we had, I don't know, another dishwasher. And then when we redid it, the kitchen, we added this Miele one. And so I noticed that, I don't know all the technical terms, but when it comes out of the side of the cabinet into the, you know, the cabinet that the sink's in.
Yeah.
They just have that, what's that wire, that like BX or whatever you call it?
Right, right, like a greenfield connection that they wired into a box.
And so the box is just laying on the floor of the kitchen sink cabinet.
It's not attached?
Well, it's attached, but it's not on a wall or anything or on the side or anything. It's just like, I can see where the cord, not the cord, but whatever you call that, BX stuff comes out.
So you have the electrical whip that comes from the dishwasher goes into this box that is anchored.
No, it's not anchored. I could pull it out.
Oh, no, the box should be anchored.
It's like laying on the bottom of the floor.
Yeah, no, it should be anchored. It could be anchored to the floor of the cabinet. That doesn't matter, but, you know, that box, I assume, doesn't have an outlet. It just has a blank cover over the top.
Well, it has the silver box, whatever you call that, the conduit or whatever that box is that's like normally in walls.
Right.
I can see that. And then on top of that is, it didn't even have a plate on it, but somebody put a plate on it now for me a while ago.
Yeah.
And then they said, well, by laying in the back of the sink here, not attached to anything, if you had an overflow of your sink or something, that could be a safety hazard with the water and the...
Well, I mean, yeah, I suppose. But, I mean, in other words, if you're able to grab that box and lift it up and could kind of just say, wow, if I could just stick it on this wall, that would be awesome.
Uh-huh.
Then, and I don't know if you want to do this, but you could take that plate off, the finished plate, with the breaker off.
Okay.
And you would lift that up, and the sink base, is it against a wall?
Yes, it's against the wall, and then there's like a, it used to be a window, but now it's just a passage.
But it's not in other words, it's not an island or anything like that. Because my point is, if you lifted that up to a spot where it's off the floor, you could take two drywall screws that are an inch and a half long or an inch and five-eighths, even an inch and a quarter. There's holes on the back of that box.
Okay.
And you could take a screwdriver and just screw it into the back of the box.
Okay. Or I could just have an electrician come over and do it, right?
Well, here's my other question. Are we replacing this Miele dishwasher?
Yes.
Because... Then when Apt comes to install it, have the guy raise the box because he's going to shut the breaker off and do all the installation.
Well, that's what I thought when the guy came to look at it. But he said, oh, no, we don't do that. You'd have to have an electrician do that. So maybe I need to talk to your Mr. Gruba.
Ken Gruba, and then have a $10 bill standing around with you when the guy goes to install it and says, hey, excuse me, Billy, would you like a cup of coffee? Sure. Huh? Oh, look at this $10 that just dropped here. Could you mount that for me?
Yeah, but you don't think the way, I mean, it's been for 14 years and it hasn't caused a fire.
No. The water leaking thing, sure, that's a possibility, but it's highly unlikely. But if it would give you better peace of mind to lift it up and screw it into the cabinet, then just do that.
Okay, and thank you for the Miele recommendation because I was, you know, the $250 savings is kind of like, you know.
But... I mean, it's $250 bucks. I get it, but I mean, the thing is, I guess my point to you is those units run so well, and I suppose what did you say to fix the buttons at $600?
Well, you know how the buttons are kind of like the on and off, and the optic. Well,
yeah.
I call them squishy buttons because now, after 14 years, if you don't hit it right, I can't get it to go on.
Yeah. So you know when you look in the owner's manual, it says those buttons, they call them squishy buttons?
Yeah, I know. I still have my 14-year-old manual, and I have a Miele canister one that is the best ever.
You're like a spokes lady. We should put a do you have a Miele tattoo?
No, not yet. I'm waiting for you to get yours.
All right, we'll get it together. We'll get his and hers.
Yeah. Okay, Lou. Well, thank you very much.
Bye, Kathleen.
Bye.
I appreciate you calling this morning. 9:19 in the morning. We'll be right back.
My wife, she's in the other room listening to you.
She's a smart lady.
Yeah, well, she calls you her home improvement stud mother.
That's me. Love the pizza. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. That's the number that Penny called. Hi, Penny. You're on WGN. Hello, Penny. Penny, for your thoughts. Penny. Penny's from heaven. Oh, Penny. What happened to Penny? Let's do this. Put Penny on hold. Penny. Hello, Penny.
Penny.
No.
No, I'm not Penny. I'm a new caller.
What's your name, new caller?
Hi, it's Brian.
Brian, where are you calling from, Brian?
I'm calling from Niles, Lou.
Niles, Illinois. It's a beautiful part of the world. How can I help you, sir?
I have just replaced my siding and my windows from Windows 1 siding. Ding, 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 ding.
All right. Congratulations.
And, sorry. And now I'm getting mold in the entrance to my attic.
You're getting
mold. And I'm wondering.
Wait, hold on. You're getting mold to the entrance of your attic, which is where?
It's in one of my bedrooms. So and it's a full down entryway.
Okay, so you replaced your siding and your windows, nothing with the roof.
Correct. Nothing with the roof, no.
And where are you seeing the mold? Like around the when you're in the finished space looking up or when you go up into the attic?
In the finished space of the bedroom, right around the where the molding, the trim would be. There's no trim up there yet, though, but that's where the mold is kind of coming from.
All right. So, okay, wait. So the entrance to the attic is a pull-down set of stairs in a hallway?
In a bedroom.
And is that correct. Also adjacent to where a new window went in?
Correct.
And how long have those windows been in?
We did it over the summer of last year.
Oh, and who's doing the trim?
For the entrance to the attic?
Yeah.
I was going to do that.
Okay. But that has no relationship to the when the windows went in. I'm trying to picture. So I have this pull down set of stairs that's in a bedroom. Is it along an outside wall?
No, it's about 3 feet from the hallway.
In the bedroom.
Yes, as you walk into the bedroom and you pull the stairs down, the tail end of the ladder will jettison into the hallway about maybe 6 inches.
Okay. And as far as you know, when you go up in the attic space, you're not seeing any water coming in anywhere?
Correct.
Okay. And have you tested this yet to make sure it's mold?
No, I have not. That's okay.
All right, so here's what I would start with first is there's a home mold test kit from a company called Healthful Home, and it's a 5-minute mold test. You can buy it at participating Ace stores, buy it, swab it, put it in this thing like it's like a pregnancy test, and it's going to tell you within 5 minutes if you have mold or not.
Yeah, I was going to go to Ace and get that.
This same company also makes a cleaner that you can use to neutralize it all, but you've also heard me talk about Concrobium, which is another really good mold killer that you can use in there as well. But what we have to find out about is where this moisture is coming from. Now, it could just be when did you start noticing this?
A little bit after, like 6 months after the house was wrapped and the siding and the windows were up.
Okay, so it's been going. So this happened after the winter.
Correct.
Okay, so one of the things that could be happening now is the fact that with the new siding and the new windows all, you know, caulked up and nice and tight, your home is holding more moisture. The fact that you don't have trim on this surround where the pull down stairs are, you're getting moisture that's banging up against the cold attic in the wintertime, and that was forming the mold and mildew, which probably occurred during the winter months and not now. And so I would test the mold, then I would clean the mold, ensure there's no moisture up in that attic space at all, and then go ahead and clean it all up and then trim it and caulk it. And then in the winter, keep track of the moisture level in the house, maybe get a small humidistat to just check. If you've got higher than 30% moisture in that house, you got to introduce some new dry air in there to cool things off a little bit. Appreciate the phone call. 9:29 in the morning.
And we call it a phone, but we don't really use it much as a phone, do we? No, we don't.
Time for Just Text Me.
We don't have to talk. Oh, my God, I got to talk. Talking is work. You got to make facial expressions. You got to suck air in. You got to blow it out.
I am so fortunate to have all you lovely and wonderful listeners every week listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show. And I'm also very fortunate to have a little VIP listener. Sam, maybe you can help me with this. I'm getting text messages from a certain Doc Emmerich, who's listening to our show right now out in San Jose, which I texted him back saying, you should still be asleep. You've got to work tonight. But he said, oh, you know, there's a big Hawks golf charity event coming up, but we can't seem to find any information on it. Do you know anything about anything like that?
I haven't seen dates yet. I can check, and we can get back to Doc.
And our listeners as well, and we always want to give the right amount of love to our Chicago Blackhawks.
Did you see that Bob Verdi, longtime Tribune writer, team historian now, will receive the Elmer Ferguson Memorial Award, being honored by the Hockey Hall of Fame?
I heard him on with
Cochran.
With Cochran. He sounds great, and what was interesting when he was on with Steve, talking about he started his career writing about hockey and then became a general, you know, amazing writer.
He's a columnist,
sports, right?
Too.
A columnist forever, and I mean, I read Bob Verdi in the Tribune forever, and yeah, he sounded great on Steve, and still does a terrific job.
If I'm reading this right, the Blackhawk Alumni Association, mm-hmm. the Stan Mikita 29th Annual Blackhawk Alumni Golf Tournament, Monday, August 22nd.
coming up in August.
At Butterfield Country Club.
All right.
And okay. If that's not right, Doc, if you're looking for a different tournament, we can try and find whatever that is.
Yeah, but keep looking, see if you find something that's a little bit sooner. There must be something coming up that we don't know about.
Okay.
Thank you. It's time for our Just Text Me segment. People have texted us at 312-981-7200, and it's where our lovely, talented producer, Lindsay, will read those text messages. Who, by the way, you're going to be gone for the next 2 weeks.
I am.
Because you'll be in
guys.
Scotland. Why don't you tell everybody why you're going to be in... Oh, am I not supposed to tell anybody?
I mean...
You're going to be in Scotland
sure.
to because it's a beautiful place.
No, we could talk really quickly. My father was involved in some production work for a film on...
A documentary.
It's not a documentary.
It's not a documentary.
It's an adapted screenplay, but okay. It's nonfiction.
Got
I mean,
it.
It's a true story based off of Tom Morris, who was one of the original founders of golf, called Tommy's Honor. It's being released at the Edinburgh Film Festival.
Right.
Opening night. Very exciting.
Wow.
So we are going to go
Did he not want us to talk about
him?
It?
No, of course. Yes.
Okay.
It's just I didn't know if you had time for this story, but in a nutshell, that's what's going on. So Tommy's Honor. Look for it.
Tommy's Honor. I have a hat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, give me a hat.
Yeah.
Very nice.
You're one of the special ones.
Yeah, you know. Don't touch me because I'm close to the edge. Well, congratulations
yeah.
to your dad and his whole team. That's exciting.
We are so excited.
And the whole family is going there to support your dad in yeah. this venture, and that's great.
It's going to be fun.
And this is not what he does for a living.
No, he's an endodontist.
Right.
He just loves to have side jobs, and this is a fun one.
He's a what?
An endodontist. If you ever need a root canal, I know a good one, Sam.
Oh, yeah. You can either have it in, he's got two offices, right, located at, and the phone number is?
In Racine in Kenosha, Wisconsin, yeah.
Right, yeah, sure, right.
So, we're very excited, but we'll miss you guys.
I do have a little tooth problem. Can he see me before he leaves, do you think?
Do you really?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh.
All right, what do you got?
I have some connections.
Right, exactly. I'll wear the hat.
630. Hi, Lou. My son's refrigerator has a terrible smell. They thought it was the catch pan. They pull out the refrigerator, but no catch pan. They've cleaned it with baking soda. It smells. Any advice?
The catch pan could be inside the fridge. So depending on the type of the refrigerator, on the bottom, there's an evaporative pan for the coil that you should clean and clean the coils, obviously. But some refrigerators and freezers, the back panel comes off. And there, because the coils are inside the fridge now, there's a little hose that goes to a little pan that then leads to the pan below. And that can become clogged and full of muck. And when you open that up, you'll be like disgusted, yeah. And you'll clean it and the smell will be gone. But the manual. You can find it online, too, if you don't still have the manual, to understand how that back panel comes off. You have to take all the shelves off, and you may have to take the vertical. There's vertical uprights that hold the shelves. Those may need to become unscrewed. The panel comes off, and you'll find a hose and a little drip pan. That thing's full of gunk, and you got to clean it out.
Mm.
How about that?
Good morning. 708. We had a new cider. A new cedar gate installed. Can or should we seal it?
Well, here's the problem with cedar is it looks beautiful when it's put down. It got that red and that brown, and it's awesome, and everybody wants it to stay looking like that. It will not. I don't care what clear sealer you put on there and it says it's got UV blocker. It will not. Trust me. So you can let it gray, you know, enjoy the beautiful different colors for this year. But then next spring, pressure wash it, get it all the gray off, and then stain it. And use a semi-transparent oil stain.
Got it. And lastly, 630, what do I paint fresh window putty with? I use the exterior Dutch Boy latex paint, and when it dries, it looks like alligator skin.
When you use wood putty, you have to give it at least 30 days to skin over before you paint it. Mm. And that's why it looks like alligator skin. It wasn't cured. It's a mistake that everybody makes. It has to. It needs time to get its own little skin over the top. Then you paint it. Dutch Boy is, you know, it's a decent paint. It's not the fault of the paint that this happened. It's the fact that it didn't skin over. And now the problem is it's probably still soft.
Mm.
So I wouldn't go the route of taking all the paint off, but you just give it another 30 days and then whack it with the Dutch Boy again and it should be okay.
All right, there you go. That's
or just text
week's.
Me.
Just text me.
By the way, just as a note of texting, I am really not texting and driving anymore. I mean, I've said this for a while, but every now and then I catch myself like at a stoplight. Mm-hmm. Okay. But now with our Chevy Tahoe with the Siri integrated in, I can just go, hey, Siri, text Lindsay Smithwick.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And right through the car, I can text you.
And does she do a good job of
listening? Sometimes she'll say a word that, you know, I forget something.
So she repeats it back to you.
She says, your text will say, and then she'll say it. Like, there's no punctuation. Mm-hmm. I think you can do punctuation because Max, when he does it, that's how he does it. But anyway, my point is this. The amount of people that I see texting and driving, it's incredible to me. Driving down, like in bumper-to-bumper traffic on the Edens Expressway, they're looking down. And you can almost tell because you can go right around them because they're not paying attention. So for the policemen out there that want to make lots of money writing tickets, just drive with me for 1 hour. And we'll just go, there's one, there's one, there's one, there's one.
Well, that's scary, the bumper-to-bumper. But then what's even scarier is when they're driving 75 miles an hour.
Oh, my gosh. I see people, they're holding the phone up on their steering wheel, doing this.
Yeah. I've seen it before.
Crazy.
Too.
Stop doing it. Don't kill me. Don't kill yourself. Don't kill other people. Don't text and drive. Perfect opportunity for someone to come and be a sponsor of Just Text Me. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. This is Bob in Elgin. Bob, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. How you doing this morning?
I am fantastic. How can I help you, sir?
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you and Lindsay for what you guys do for us every Saturday morning. I mean, it's always very helpful, and we learn a lot.
Well, and, you know, we try to come to your house first before we get here and do a little sweeping up. I know you like that in the morning. We get that all cleaned up, and then we come in. So that's nice of you to say.
Very good. I've got a question on Ace Paint.
Okay.
All my life, I've used Ace Royal Shield, the premium 5-star or 25-year guarantee paint.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, it's no longer available.
Correct.
Number one, what replaces it? Number two, what's compatible with it? Because I've got two brand new gallons I'm going to use, but I'm going to have to continue on the outside of this building with something else.
Okay, so a little inside baseball here. For many, many years, Ace Paint was owned and manufactured by Ace Corporation. So we owned our own paint factory. Factories for many, many, many years. And about 5 years ago, Valspar purchased the Ace Paint factory.
Okay.
And so now all of Ace Paint is now manufactured by Valspar, which now most recently has been purchased by Sherwin-Williams.
Okay.
So it's, you're going to need a scorecard to keep track. So this partnership between Valspar and Ace, took root where we now carry in our stores the Valspar brand of Aspire and Optimus, which are kind of their premium paints. We also still do Clark and Kensington, which is a paint and primer in one. And we still do make Ace Royal, but not in all the same categories as you're speaking.
Okay.
So you're painting the exterior of a house?
A garage and a shed.
And so you're going to paint this garage, and you're going to go as far as you can to a corner.
Correct.
And that's where you're going to end with whatever it is you have, and then you can go with an Ace Royal exterior paint, which is still available, or the number one Consumer Reports paint exterior was the Clark and Kensington brand. It's a different mix, but it's a terrific paint, and I think you'll even find it to be superior to the Ace Royal, and you can have the color matched. So that's not a problem. You just need to make that transition at a specific point, so you're not like mid-wall and going on.
Stop at a corner and then continue on with a different paint.
I mean, it's for me to make these proclamations, I don't think Clark and Kensington is going to go anywhere for a long time because it's just a terrific paint. And the people, they get the brand and they like it. And while I'm sure this purchase of Sherwin-Williams over Valspar will cause some changes, I think it's all way too early to know what those will be. Okay. But within the Ace products and the Ace brands, we can still match those colors, and you should be able to get you know, the kind of results that you want. Do me a favor, hang on a second. I'm going to send you out a Mr. Fix-It Loose Crew T-shirt, courtesy of our friends at Fox Home Center in Alsep, created by Rags of Honor, which is helping veterans get back on their feet. And you can wear that shirt when you're painting. Just don't get paint on it, okay? Because it'll mess the whole look up. 9:52 in the morning. Don't go away.
Happy trails to you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show. It's time now for our last call, sponsored by Townstone Financial.
Happy trails to you.
Sam is our last caller. Hi, Sam. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How can I help you, sir?
I've got an HVAC question. So whenever it's hot, like humid outside, my HVAC in the basement always gets a large pool of water, and it's usually when it's extra humid outside. So it's happened once this season so far, and I'm wondering if it's a pump issue or what. I don't know how to fix it. I've had people out that try to cap things, and they can't fix it.
Okay, hold on.
So what do you think is going on?
When you say it, you get a pool of water, is the ductwork, do you see moisture on the ductwork?
No, I don't.
And you see this pooling where?
I see the pooling at the base of the HVAC units in the basement.
Okay, and did you say you have a pump that pumps the water into the drain?
I do have a pump, and I thought that the pump was just used in the winter with a humidity control. But yes, I do have a pump.
Okay, you see a white plastic pipe that comes out of just above the furnace where the ductwork starts, and it goes into this pump.
Correct.
And then that pump has like a clear plastic tube that goes up and over to the sink somewhere?
Yes, it does.
And do you ever see water coming out of that?
I do in the winter. I don't in the summer.
Okay, well, it should be working in the summer more than it does in the winter, because your condensate line. So my guess is that pipe that's leading to that pump is clogged. Now, you have a couple ways. How handy of a guy are you, Sam?
I'm fairly handy.
All right, so that pipe that is going through that furnace, if you can disconnect it somehow from that pump and take a shop vac in reverse to blow that line out.
Okay.
And you also need to test that pump, and you can take a watering can and pour it in where that pipe goes and keep pouring it and make sure that pump works. It could be that you have a faulty pump.
Okay.
So do both of them.
When I pour the water in,
right where you took the pipe out,
pouring it where I pulled. Okay, got it.
Correct. Right. Do me a favor. Hang on one quick second. I want to send you out. You're going to love this. A 3-room carpet cleaning extravaganza from Executive Green Carpet Cleaning, providing a level of clean that no one else in the area can deliver. Visit executivegreencarpetcleaning.com. It's a $139 value. Who's giving this stuff away? I am. Downstairs is the ladies. Hello, ladies.
Yeah. Hello, Lou.
Marky and O'Malley.
Oh, I like it.
There you go.
And I'm so curious about your topic about things you say that you regret that you can never forget.
Oh. Well, keep listening.
Oh, my gosh.
Believe me, I said 3 or 4 things already this morning.
Well, I mean, in your private personal life, can't you almost go back to the moment and see yourself standing there saying it?
Yeah. I can.
Oh, yeah.
I can, too.
Oh, yeah.
And you just can't. And sometimes you know it as while you're saying it.
It's like the words are coming out of your mouth, and you're like,
you stop.
It's too late.
Exactly.
I'm sleeping on the couch for the next week.
Keep listening. Have a good one,
Lou. Oh, yeah, I forgot that one.